Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome Mike Hush from Race Trackers. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening.
Well, Mike, Race Trackers around the country and around the world, and certainly in New York, you need no introduction, but we'll do it anyway. You've been a trainer in New York for the better part of 40 years, spanning five decades, and over almost 10,000 starts, more than 1,000 wins, $20 million in purse earnings. And you've recently announced that you're going to cease training and retire. So we wanted to congratulate you on the next milestone.
Okay, thank you very much.
I know you've been a fixture in New York for so many years, and you've seen a lot of changes, and just really wanted to get your thoughts on some of the various top horses and top people in your career.
Okay. I've been asked a lot about who was my favorite horse, and I have a hard time coming up with one. Probably after kicking it around last night with some friends, I think the best horse was my favorite horse wasn't a horse that I trained. It was a horse I groomed when I first came on the racetrack, Alan Jerkins.
And who was that?
It was a horse named Step Nicely.
He
was out of the crop of the 1970, which I believe was by far the greatest crop of horses that ever was. That was Secretariat's crop, but you can reel off 20 other great horses that were in that crop, and he fought along. He fought along with all of them. He went head and head from top of the stretch to the wire with Forgo and beat him ahead. He was a little horse. It was quite a sight to watch him do that. Just a gritty little horse and a tough little horse. He taught me a lot.
I'm sorry.
And the horse taught me a lot.
Okay. Not so many people, some of our listeners are younger, and it comes as a surprise to a lot of people who realize Forgo was the same crop as Secretariat and actually raced against Secretariat in the Derby, and Step Nicely was right in with that bunch, right?
Yes, but there's a long list, if you take a little time and look it out, a long list of really good horses that were in that crop.
Right. You spoke of Alan Jerkins, and you, like so many others, got your start with Alan Jerkins. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you came onto the racetrack?
I just had a friend of mine who was a groom for Alan Jerkins, and I had already kind of found out that I wanted horses to be in my life, and when I had the opportunity, I asked him if he would take me in and help me get started, and he took me in to get a job.
Well, he was known.
Sorry, Bill, we're breaking up. I haven't heard you for 30 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Alan Jerkins was known for helping out people who get their start in the game, and I know you were known for that too. You had a number of people who worked for you become trainers on their own right, correct?
Yes. Yeah, Alan was certainly very fortunate that I ended up under his shed and with him very, very early. I couldn't have, I walked in and went right to Harvard.
That's right. Well, we spoke earlier in the year about how it's so nice that they've named King's Bishop after Alan Jerkins. It's a fine.
Yes, anything, anything they can do to keep Alan Jerkins' name in this game, we all appreciate.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I know Alan also gave a number of new riders their start, and you seem to do that too. You gave a lot of opportunities to young riders. What was your thoughts on that?
Well, I would just get my own opinion about them. And, it's always it's not easy when you're dealing with the trying to get the first two riders and get the leading two riders or three riders and get them to ride the horses back. And I always like to watch riders and see if I could see something in them. I liked their demeanor around the barn, and I liked their character, and I thought they had some athleticism. I thought it was fun.
Right. Well, it's interesting to see how the game has changed, and you saw all of it. Your numbers and your statistics were shockingly steady throughout the last 20 or 30 years. And it seems that you always had, you know, over $1 million, $2 million worth of earnings, somewhere in the area of, you know, 50 and 100 wins. Were you ever tempted to go the mega stable route that seems to be all the rage now with people having 200, 300 horses?
Well, that really only came into play the last 10 years. And by,
right.
by that time, I was a little, it wasn't time to make a change like that for me. It was just a little too late in my career to try and go that way. And, you know, I didn't have owners that were happy about me having horses in two places.
Right.
But that's all changed, right? It changed now. It's a new world out there.
Yeah, it has. And it's you remember the days where 40 was pretty much the limit. You know, that was the number of stalls in one barn, and you wouldn't particularly be able to extend past that. And I guess from either a gambling standpoint and a fan standpoint, it probably was a more exciting time of racing than it is now with some mega stables.
Yes, it is. I don't know how the bettors like it when they see the same trainer with three horses in a race, you know, uncoupled and try to bet. I mean, I certainly have nothing but respect for all the big operations. Those guys are all top guys, but they're also top businessmen and organizers, which
right.
was never something that was high on our list years ago.
Well, I guess it's become such an administrative game, and just even the difficulties in running a public stable. I mean, we've had some trainers on who just say the commitment that's required in addition to taking care of the horses now is tremendous.
Well, it always has been. You know, it was always your life. Your stable was your life. That hasn't changed no matter what the year.
Right. How do you find what will you think will change? Will you start sleeping later, or do you think that's ingrained into the rest of your life?
Well, I think I'm sure I'll sleep a little bit later, but I won't be waking up in the middle of the night or when I first open my eyes in the morning. And I'm a kind of glasses half empty guy, so I wake up worrying. I remember all the bad things with the horse that had a bad day the day before. You know, the owner who was unhappy. The horse that didn't work that good. So that's the stuff I always had on my mind, and I'm a worrier by nature. So hopefully I won't have much to worry about. I can just worry about what I'm going to do to enjoy myself.
Oh, wonderful. I mean, I guess that's what a lot of our listeners enjoy hearing is, not enjoy hearing, but a surprise to hear just what a fretful game it is when you're a trainer. It's that everything's right and you get the horse just the way you want it to be, and then it's always subject to change, even till the last second, you know, even to getting in the gate, or even as someone said, there's a million ways for things to go wrong and only one way for doing things right.
Yeah, and so often, you know, after a race course doesn't run good, we're scratching our head. We don't understand why. We try to get to the bottom
right.
of it. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't have an explanation,
right.
which people don't tend to understand either.
Right. They're not machines, and there's such
yeah.
a thing as just a day that's an off day, and you may never get to it.
Well, you can always
well,
blame it on the jock. You know, that's what we do.
That's right. It comes with the territory, right? That's right.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Well, I guess you're going to have run your last starter sometime this week. Have you pegged out when it'll be?
I have three horses to enter tomorrow for Sunday, an entry on the turf and a maiden on the turf, and we'll see if the races go. If they get in, there's no 6-to-5 shots, but they'll all have somewhat of a chance.
Right. Well, that would be nice to go out on a winner, but it doesn't matter. You've had just a wonderful, tremendous career of the highest quality and the highest order, and it's everything to be proud of. And you, I can tell you that, you know, you don't need my approval, but I can tell you your reputation is as high as it possibly can be, as everyone who's come out of Alan Jerkins' barn is. Will you go to Saratoga, do you think?
Yes, I'm going to go up there and see what it's like to be a civilian.
Okay.
it'll be strange because Saratoga is a very tough place on trainers. Both,
right.
You know, for their time and financially, it's a real sacrifice for the trainers. But I'll just wake up over there and decide if, you know, going to play golf or go fishing or, as I said in one paper, go to Mrs. London's and have coffee and an almond croissant.
That's right. Well, the world has changed so much now that you can watch races from anywhere. So, you know, yeah. There are long days at the races. And it always amazes me in downtown Saratoga, every restaurant you go into, someone has an iPad open watching the races because it's always on the top of everyone's mind. You no longer have to be right there every hour.
So, yeah, or even if your phone's in your pocket, you can watch the races. It's certainly changed that way. Who'd have ever thought?
No kidding. Well, the other thing, I guess, that changed, and I want to let you go. I know you're busy, but the other thing that's changed so much, and I spoke with Jimmy Jerkins about this when he spoke on the show, the owners, the partnerships that are so prevalent now and the owners having to entertain owners. I mean, there was a day when trainers basically, you know, rarely, if ever, spoke to owners other than did you find that a change that everyone's involved now?
Would you repeat that again? Or the connection got a little...
Oh, I'm sorry. I said the change with the partnerships now where trainers are expected to speak to owners and multiple owners all the time as opposed to the old days where it was much more involved between owners and trainers.
Yeah, well, what's changed is a lot of... operations communicate with texts. They might never talk to the owner by phone.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and when this partnership, it's just through the multiple text and get the information that way. But, you know, I'll take the good old days myself.
Right. Well, Mike, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. You know, Marty Cunningham is a friend of mine. He and I, and he was an owner with you for many years, and his father and my father worked together at the racetrack, and it's a long history, and I'm just delighted that you came on, and I do want your retirement to go unnoticed, and I'm sure our fans will be happy to have heard from you, and we'll be happy to see you up in Saratoga without any worries and with a little more rest.
Well, thanks for asking me, Bill, and thanks for the kind words.
Mike Cushion, everyone. Thanks again, Mike. Good luck on Sunday.